In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. You know, the real beauty of live streaming is when I miss the Gloria because I'm doing a baptism and I forget the orders. Hundreds of people now will know. So the AV guys didn't mess that up. That was me messing them up. So, with all that said and done, we find ourselves in the midst of this really familiar story, I believe. This concept of the feeding of the 5,000, there's multiple variations, as we've heard. This is Matthew's variation. And it's interesting to me that Jesus, you know, it begins out, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat." That's how verse 13 begins. So the first question is, when he heard what? And what has happened is Jesus has been to Nazareth prior to in the Gospel of Matthew, and he has not had a lot of success there, you may remember. He was trying to do his work in healing of people there, but there was a large level of unbelief because this was just Joseph's son. And then what he had just heard was that John the Baptist had been put to death, and in a rather brutal way. I'm sure you remember the story. And after he had heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat. Now, knowing that Jesus was fully human, fully divine, in his humanness, I suspect he was thinking, "I need a little time." So he was going to set himself apart for a little bit and just go and maybe recoup. And of course, when he arrived in this deserted place, everyone had followed on foot. And rather than stay on the boat, Jesus came ashore and had compassion on them, and he healed the sick. He continued to do that which the Lord, which his Father God had called him to do. He was doing the work that was to be done, even, I suspect, at a moment where maybe in his humanness, just like us probably always in our humanness, would have rather had a break. But he continued to do that which he needed to do. And it's just the story itself, I'm imagining what it must have been like to observe. Now, if you were working with someone, your leader, and that person was really worn down, and suddenly other people are now pressing in when you know that he might need or she might need a little bit of a breather, knowing this person might be struggling a little bit, they stood there and worked with him. And then in the midst of it all, Jesus teaching, healing the sick, and the evening comes and the disciples come to him and says, this is a deserted place and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away. Send them away so they can go into the villages and the towns to find food. Send them away. This has just a great response, doesn't he? Verse 16, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." I'm just imagining being one of his disciples thinking, "You give them something to eat. What am I going to do, just produce a grocery store? You give them something to eat." And they're like, "We have nothing." But 5 loaves and 2 fish. So they didn't really have nothing. So this story, to me, is really about the abundance of God and his economy, not ours. So how often do we turn and someone says, "There's a need here," and you go, "Oh, I have nothing." And you know in the back of your mind and in your heart, you're going, but, I do have, don't I? I'm just not willing to give it up. So in some fashion, there was a struggle here. It's like, we have nothing. Well, but these 5 loaves and 2 fish. So now it's a question of how much do you trust Jesus? Are you willing to give the last thing that you have to Jesus? Are you willing to go down to nothing to see what his abundance really looks like? Or do we say, "I have nothing," and then walk away going, "Well, but this." And Jesus is saying, "No, you give them something to eat. They bring what they have, and he says, bring them here to me, the loaves and the fish. He goes, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. Now, I've seen in some old movie clips, and this scene is worked out, all of a sudden the baskets are just fish and loaves of bread are just falling out of the baskets. And I bet that's not at all what it looked like. When I imagine this, the disciples were then handed these baskets with a tiny bit of fish and a tiny bit of bread and told to go out and feed thousands of people sitting in the grass. And they're looking at it going, this is going to get ugly. I got this basket. I got enough here, really not enough to even satisfy my own hunger. And I'm supposed to walk out into this crowd, and it's somehow going to satisfy everybody here. See, because in my world, that's how God works. He works in what, when I was a retailer, we used to call just-in-time inventory. The whole world works in just-in-time inventory now, by the way. When you go to the store, what is on the shelf is probably all they have. There was a time they had it on the shelf, and then they had more in the back, right? That really doesn't happen, does it? You go to the store, and they go, do you have any more of these? Or like, is there any more there? And you're like, no. They're like, no. Because it's just-in-time inventory. There's a truck coming in the morning, right? We've probably all heard that. A truck's coming in the morning. Every time you go to get something that's not there, the response is, the truck's coming in the morning. And you know why? Because it's true. That's exactly what's going to happen. Just-in-time inventory. God works the same way. So I often will have conversations with people, they're just seeking this abundance of God, but they won't let go of their inventory. If you hold the inventory, you don't need, do you? And God gives us what? What we want? No. He gives us what we need. So if you hold tight to everything you have, to a place that keeps you comfortable, you will never experience the abundance of God. Amen? I promise you this. I didn't really understand it until I had nothing. Well, that's not true. I had nothing for a long time, and then I had nothing and God, and then I understood. Now, God had me at that time, but I didn't know it. But as I moved forward in my journey with him, there were times when we had nothing. And Susan and I would just look at each other and go, we'll do what we can do. We'll just do what we can do. And then the abundance of God poured in. I have hundreds of stories. But sometimes we walk around looking for the abundance of God when we aren't willing to stop relying on our own understanding and our own provision. It takes stepping out. So I suspect the disciples at that moment felt like they were stepping out a little bit. Walked out there with the baskets with like zero in them, because I'm imagining you had to break it up, right? I don't think those loaves and fish went very far for the first separation to the baskets. And then they went out and they began to feed people. And you know what? It just never ran out. It never ran out. So that should remind you of a wonderful phrase, which I'm sure you have heard before. You cannot outgive God. You can't. I dare you to try. I do. I have tried, and you cannot. It's not even possible. And it wasn't possible on this day. A very simple thing happened underlying this entire story. Those who were told, you feed them. They don't have to go anywhere. You take care of it. They gathered up what little bit they had, and Jesus said, bring it to me. And he asked God's blessing. He blessed it. He blessed it. And he sent them out. And they had everything they needed. And so did the 5,000 plus other people. Because they were willing to take the last little thing they had and turn it over to God. And once that happened, God's blessing became abundant. So if you're living your life wondering, where is this abundant blessing of God? If you've never had the experience, the question I would ask you, have you ever given to the point where you felt like you had nothing left to give? Whether it be physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever it might be. Have you ever gone to the edge and seen how God lives there? Because he truly lives on that edge. This story reminds us of it, doesn't it? 5,000 plus people sitting in the grass. A little bit of bread, a little bit of fish. What made it possible for this overflowing abundance of God was that that little bit that was there was offered fully to God, where it was blessed and multiplied. See, the disciples didn't say, well, we have nothing. That was first their understanding. We have nothing, but five loaves and two fish. They didn't say, okay, let's take out a loaf and a fish and we'll give him that just so we have something. They took everything and said, here it is. And I bet, just like some of you, and just like I have experienced in my life, at some point when you've had to do that, whether, like I said, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, whatever it is, you just get to that moment and you just go, here it is. We got nothing left to lose. If God doesn't multiply it, we'll have nothing. We don't have enough anyway. So let's take a run at it. Let's just see what God can do. And at some point, we just have to trust that God will do. So even Jesus, at the beginning of this story, I suspect in his humanness, felt like he had nothing to give. He had not been having a good week. And then God's people just came. And the blessings flowed through him anyway, even when I suspect in his humanness he felt he had nothing. He cured the sick, thousands of them. And then there came time to feed them. He was on a roll by then, wasn't he? You could just imagine the disciples were going, I thought we were going to rest. This is ridiculous. And what are we? This is our chance. Go tell him. Go tell him to send him away so we can get our rest. Go tell him to send him away. Go tell him to go get some food somewhere. And then they come up and he goes, they don't have to go away. You feed them. But you know why? Because they're never going to go away. God's people are going to be in need. And from just like this day, Jesus is going to turn to those who follow him and he's going to say, you feed them. You take care of them. You bring me whatever little bit you have, but you better bring it. He will bless it so that you can pour out his blessings through you to his people. So many times. My previous parish wasn't financially solvent. And I would have people come up to me and they'd hear about the work that was happening there and they'd say, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's amazing that the work that you all are doing over there, I wish we could do that. And my answer was always, go do it. And they go, well, we'd love to, but we don't have the money. And I'd say, please do not tell my people they need money to do this. Because you'll ruin the whole thing. Brothers and sisters, we started a ministry beginning of this year, amen? Feeding God's people. Our hope was to start it small. God had a different plan, didn't he? our little ministry where we were going to feed maybe 50, 75 people for a couple of months and figure it out, very quickly, within 60 days, was feeding 600 people a month. 600. Now, it's not 5,000, but I bet it could be. But you know what it's going to take for us to do that? We have to give it all over to God. We have to trust Him. Whatever He gives us, we have to give to them. We have to continue to move in the faith that God is going to provide. You know, one of the biggest struggles in our churches today, especially our mainline denominations, the biggest struggle is defined as this: we operate in scarcity, not in God's abundance. We want to look at budgets and see what we can cut rather than create a budget that looks insane to everybody. Well, you probably noticed the last couple of years your budget looks insane, doesn't it? My first year here, and I'll throw my colleague under the bus a little bit, came into my office and he said, "Father, I'm worried about this number you put out there for your budget." I said, "What?" "You're never going to get that much money." I said, "Yeah, but this is the dream." Anybody here do a budget for a ministry? What do I tell you to do? Dream. Put down what you think God wants you to do with this ministry and tell us how much it's going to cost. And then we put it all together and we send it out to the church. We ask God, "God, here it is. Put it out to the church." And then the church responds the best the church can. But that first year, people were nervous because they wanted to see that budget. People even asked me, "Where are the numbers? I want to know what we're going to cut." I said, "We're not cutting anything. We just won't be able to afford to pay for some of it, and we won't be able to do it." See, it won't be, the concern was it would be my failure. In my first year, it'll be perceived as a big failure if we don't get that number. And I said, "It won't be my failure. We can share it if you want to perceive it as a failure, or we can ask God for everything, and then He'll give us what we need." And He hasn't failed yet, has He? No, He hasn't, because He works through His people in the hands of His people. See, the abundance is God's. Storing and inventory is not our role. We work with God's provision. God is just-in-time inventory. See, if we hold it, we don't need it. When we move it through into God's people for the purpose of the building up of His kingdom, His abundance flows. Amen? That's the call. What a wonderful way to move. What a wonderful way to understand. And how frightening is that? So if I'd say to you, brothers and sisters, as you are asked to give, asked to love, asked to have compassion, whatever it may be put upon you in the name of God, give your all. Give your all, so that you can truly understand what it means for these disciples to take out their little baskets, probably in fear, thinking the first people I go to feed are going to eat everything I have. Walk out there with whatever it is you think you don't have and see how His abundance flows through you. If you want to see Jesus, you have to get out on the edge, because that's where Jesus lives. That's where Jesus lives. Read through the Gospels. What are you supposed to take when you go out? Nothing. He provides it all. And He does in abundance. And when you have done that, just like in this story, what happens at the end? And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. They couldn't fill one basket when they started. They fed 5,000 plus people and came back with 12 baskets full. God's abundance. it's hard to experience God's abundance if you are living in the safety of the space you created. Come out to the edge where Jesus lives. That's where you'll see him move. And you will see him move because you can't do it. Faith, trust, little fear, but not so much that you don't step. Let his abundance flow into you so it can flow out to the world. Amen.